This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Drop the line into any fight show. If they don't get it, then they don't get it. Need an answer that maybe they'll know. If they don't get it, then they don't get it. Hear my side for a minute. Beginning to make fun of the pain that I am now living. What if their advice sucks? What if they give no fucks? What am I to do? They're making fun of me. Only if I were you. What if I get the Game Boy? What if they're both too coy? Evil or coward Jews are making fun of me. Only if I were you.
That was only the half of it.
Really?
That's right. I'm going to play the end of it at the end of the show. It was too good with too much to go.
Too good to be true.
That was a Five for Fighting What If parody that he thought fitting because it has the line, "What if I were you," right in the actual song.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out to, I guess you can direct people to my Bandcamp where I record real songs, Chris Byerly, BYERLY.bandcamp.com. Or you can check out my old band, Silver Fleet's Bandcamp, at silverfleet.bandcamp.com.
Okay.
He goes on to say, if people want to check out something really cool, my previous employer, Meathead Movers, who supply people with free moves out of domestic violence situations, set up a campaign called Move to End DV at movetoenddv.org. It's a great way to let people in domestic violence situations, both men and women, know that there are a ton of options and ways to get help.
He only gets one plug. You did Bandcamp. Okay, we'll edit that whole thing out.
The one about domestic violence support.
What was the name of their thing?
Move to End DV. It's a
nonprofit. It was called?
Yeah, to help people out of domestic violence situations.
We're gonna have to edit that out because he already plugged his Bandcamp. So let's try to stay focused.
Holy shit! You're a bleeding heart capitalist. I love that about you. You just care about, I guess, the final line or the
bottom
budget.
Line, the bottom dollar, the almighty dollar. I love money and dollar bills.
Last few episodes recorded in New York. This episode recorded in L.A. We're all over the place. We're bi-coastal.
All over the map, man.
Overlapping enough. As soon as I left New York a week ago, 8 days ago at this point, I felt pressure in my sinai.
Yeah.
My ears were clogged. My nose was watering. My eyes were watering. And then the snot started, the mucus, the headaches, the achy joints. Mm-hmm. The cold had set in fully by Sunday, Monday.
Right.
And it took me Monday to Monday, basically now, to feel better.
Right.
As I feel better, you come in today complaining that you think you're getting sick.
I think I'm getting your sickness. I think you gave me your cold.
The cold that I had when I got in L.A.,
I think I noticed you were sick in New York.
Really? But you didn't want to say anything.
I didn't
You didn't feel comfortable on the day.
I honestly thought I did. I definitely, yeah, just, it, I would have felt comfortable to say something for sure.
And then I peaced out to LA, but I had already, the damage was done. And then you didn't feel it for another 10 days until yesterday.
I think it just said
but
it.
But I got you sick.
I think you got me sick. Honestly, it's so weird. Like, I felt like I had a mini cold, like, last week. I was like, oh, I just need two nights of sleep. And I started to feel
beat
like
it to the punch.
Yeah, I felt like I was coming down with something. I slept. I think I even got NyQuil. I, like, slept, and it felt completely fine.
Does NyQuil give you extra sleep that you usually don't get? Do you feel that you've had a NyQuil amount of sleep?
I think I get a little nervous. Like, I feel a cold coming on, and I need to rest. But I like, get worked up in my head, like, I'm not going to get a good night's sleep. Mm-hmm. So it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah.
So I even trust with the NyQuil to knock me out and to give me that nine and a half.
That NyQuil.
That needed nine from the NyQuil.
And does
that
it
necessary nine.
Did it give it to you? Did you get
yeah,
that
Yeah, I felt
nine?
Better. I really did feel better. And then, like, these last few nights, I'm just like started to sniffle. And I wake up, I'm like, oh, maybe it's just dry in here.
Yeah, that's what I said in New York, too. It's probably just dry.
Yeah.
Because it's so cold outside and hot inside, and it's dry when it's hot.
Right, and it feels like today I was attacked by these symptoms, by your cold.
I don't think it was me or anything like that.
I'll never forgive you. Let's answer some cues.
That's right. It's a bonus lightning round recording on a Monday, just to date it. The Peloton ad is viral, just so you know that we are on top of shit. We are on the day recording, uploading right away.
How viral is that Peloton ad?
It's the number one trending topic in America on my Twitter.
I do think that Peloton must be happy.
There's no such thing as bad publicity style. They uploaded a very cheesy, cringy ad, and people are making fun of it to the point where now it's like the most talked about thing.
But it's the most talked about thing on Twitter. Like, Twitter is such a bullshit, dumb platform.
It's a fucking echo chamber, liberal bullshit bubble bitch.
But I imagine, I mean, like, that ad might just play really well to the majority of people in America, and then a minority of people on Twitter are like, this is dumb, right? And then everyone agrees there.
Yeah. I saw somebody said, like, this Peloton ad is not playing well with people who would never buy a Peloton.
Yeah.
So it's like, who cares what you... Yeah, sure, keep making fun of it.
And then Twitter sucks so much. It really goes from, like, the making fun of it to the making fun of the people making fun of it. It's just a fucking... it's a pinball machine of bullshit.
Actually, one of our first questions is sort of political leaning anyway. We asked for people to give us questions on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
So we can answer
that
as many
platform,
as possible.
I think that everyone should delete.
But before you do delete, feel free to ask us a question. We're going to try to get through as many as possible. And Yoav Pazpriel, by the way, this is If I Were You, the only advice show on the internet hosted by us. I'm Amir.
Jake.
Yoav Pazpriel writes, favorite 2020 Dem. Let's get political on a Tuesday.
On a Tuesday, on a Super Tuesday.
Do you have any preference between the Dems?
I really kind of don't right now.
You just sort of like them all.
I mean, yeah, I think they are all so much better than the alternative.
Yeah, it's like we're choosing between what's our favorite steak when the alternative is to stick our dick into a freaking NutriBullet. So it's like, I don't care if you like the T-bone or the ribeye.
Right.
I just don't want a tea bag, a active blender.
Right. There's one candidate that's sticking your cock in a vise, putting a knife against your taint.
And then the other debate is like, how do you like your steak?
Right. Health. Everyone's like, okay, we all agree that healthcare is a right that people should have, but like, we have different ways of paying for it. I want to eliminate private insurance. I don't.
I don't know enough about these people's platforms to like get into the minutia of what separates an Elizabeth Warren from a Kamala Harris. They all seem just smart, compassionate people to me.
Yeah, they're all generally capable. I think that like. The thing that's happening is like everyone always goes to who's electable. Like, the thing that everyone cares about is beating Trump.
Yeah.
I think there's
who's
like,
got the best chance against
Donald. Then I feel like people kind of work backwards. Like, you think Elizabeth Warren has the best chance for beating Trump, so you're also going to buy into her policies and try to sell people on that.
Yeah, it's like, sure, tax the billionaires at 90% for every dollar they've earned above a billion.
That does sound good. And then, like, Cory Booker wants to do a different kind of like wealth tax or something. Like, he doesn't want to tax the rich in the same exact way. He wants to tax the rich in a slightly different way.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, Cory Booker's like, he's in the pocket of the capitalists or whatever. Like, he's also pretty good.
As long as he's anti-kids in cages.
Yeah. And everyone's there. So I don't know. I don't think I really have a favorite, because that's the other problem. Everybody like talks about like who's the most electable, and it always tends to be like Joe Biden, who's just the old white guy. And you're like, oh, so like electability is sort of it's a coy way of saying not a woman and not black.
Yeah, the younger, whiter, maler, the better. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Mayor Pete's in the lead so far.
I do like Mayor Pete.
Nake Dugan Sports asks, how did you two develop a personal sense of style and wardrobe?
You know, that's a great question. Remember when we interviewed the Lonely Island and they made fun of our clothes for a bunch of it?
What did they say, that we dressed alike?
They were like, no. They were like, I remember when I used to dress like that.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, you guys are 3.5 years older than us. I didn't realize there was a difference.
Yeah. And that you're making fun of me for wearing baggy jeans, I guess.
But everyone was wearing baggy jeans that year.
They were on the tight jean tip, I think.
I don't know if my personal sense of style or wardrobe has changed in the last 10 years. I think just general style has changed. Like, I'm still wearing a hoodie and jeans today than I was 10 years ago.
But when did you stop buying your jeans boot cut? Like, I remember there were moments when, like, your styles changed for sure.
Yeah.
I think Marty influenced you in your sneakers.
Yeah, sneakers became a Marty influence. Jeans became Marty influenced.
It's honestly probably just all goes back to when Marty started hanging out with us.
Yeah. But now jeans are becoming less skinny.
Yeah. There are always those like trends. For instance, like buttoning your shirt collar all the way up. That was one that I could do. I did that one.
That's, are you still like, doing that?
No, it kind of depends. Sometimes I'll throw on a top button, but usually,
on a polo, would you top button a polo?
I might.
Holy shit!
I might. I'm not opposed to it. But that's like a fun fashion trend, because it's like, it's one you can pull off with clothes you already own.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I'm.
You're wearing a flannel with a zipper. That's a unique decision. I've never seen a shirt like that.
Jacket. Yeah.
A jacket.
Yeah. This is a, I like this little,
that's a nice layering piece.
It is a nice layering piece, and I thank you for that. I think that moving back to New York made me change my fashion game a little bit.
Because you have to wear different styles of seasons.
Yeah, and there's like more opportunities to like dress for the elements, like, oh, it's going to be hot, it's going to be cold. In LA, it's just like always kind of too hot.
Well, it's in between like 50 and 100.
Yeah.
Not like between negative 20 and 130.
Right. But even, I guess like sometimes I feel like even in the winter, LA is like, you should just wear sneakers. You never wear cool shoes in LA. Like, I sometimes try to wear cool shoes in New York.
Like big leather boots, and it's just like 58 degrees and partly cloudy.
I would never wear boots in LA. I just always was wearing sneakers. But in New York, I sometimes wear boots. But wait, what was the question? How did we develop our own style?
Yeah. Does he mean different from one another or just in general?
I think in general.
Yeah, I don't know. I wear what's comfortable, but like nicer versions of that. So whereas I used to buy Gap hoodies, now I buy like nicer hoodies from Nordstrom's.
Yeah.
So it's still a hoodie, but it's like a little classier.
Now you wear Vince.
Yeah, but it's still a hoodie. But the inside is gray and the outside is blue.
Yeah, I guess
instead
you
of
have
a JanSport
always
hoodie.
Yeah.
I do like hoodies still.
Mm-hmm. And I still like flannels. Nothing's really changed.
Lieutenant Lunchables writes, Amir, did you like D&D? I did your Not Another D&D podcast yesterday. No spoilers, but I recorded an episode.
That is right.
I didn't realize how numbers heavy the game was. There was so much rolling and so much like up to chance and so much arithmetic happening.
Right.
I would have assumed that would have dissuaded you from getting into it originally.
Yeah, I really like the rolling of the die.
It's like you're rolling a dice, and then it's like roll 2 6-sided dies and 1 8-sided die, and then go to your sheet and add a fourth number to that thing.
Right. Well, the modifiers become kind of like second nature. Like when Murph is like roll to see if you hit, you didn't know which die to roll.
Yeah.
But like, if you play, you're like, I know, like I always roll the 20-sided die.
Yeah.
And then your modifier, which is like you were like had to keep on going back to your sheet. But if you play like one or two times, you'd be like, oh, my modifier is
this. I know what my modifier is.
And then like as you level up, your modifier goes up. So you're like, I just said that you know it automatically, but I'm pretty positive I add a 12 to whatever my attack roll is.
Oh, wow.
So even if I roll like a 9, it's like a 21.
Yeah, and if you rolled a 20, that's a 32?
Yeah.
So that's a lot.
Because I'm level 14. I get better. You get better as you play, so it's more exciting. Like when you're a lower level, you have, I don't know, none of it means that much because you're like, oh, I add 4.
Right.
Is that... I have to roll.
Some of it was not even adding anything.
Right.
Because I was a weakling on the day.
Yeah. But like the more you, it's interesting because like the more you get to add, like when your modifiers are going up, you crave those things because it all gets added to your rolls. Right. You're just trying to roll high.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like that. I mean, I would think that it would help or that it would tickle something for you because it's like a little gambly.
Yeah, it is.
The way you were rolling your dice, it looked like you were playing crap.
7, a winner. No, it's actually not a lot of damage that you did to the bad guy. So it was a crash course in D&D, which was interesting. But then it was also, we were being recorded, so I was like trying to be funny as I'm learning this game without ruining the game because I didn't want to just come on there and sort of like ruin the chemistry of the other 4 people who have been playing for 2 years straight.
Right. It must have been hard for you, like, have you ever listened to an episode of that show?
Yes. The first few.
Oh, you did listen to a few?
Yeah.
Wow. That's really nice of you, man. Yeah. Did you listen to it when you were knew you were coming on or had you listened before?
A year when it came out. Yeah. Just because I was so curious, what is Dungeons and Dragons?
Right. So
but then when you're playing, it felt so different.
Yeah, because, I mean, that was, like, so early in the campaign. We're all such low levels. There isn't really any camaraderie yet. Now we're, like, we are all, like, all of us playing are, like, best friends in the campaign.
Yeah.
There's inside jokes. We're, like, so much of our show is also, like, callbacks and stuff.
It was also, like, inside jokes that you guys were saying so blindly. I'm, like, was that a joke or is that, like, just what you call that now?
Right.
Like, when you roll a 2, you say shout out to the 2 crew instead of 2.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like you rolled and then you went, shout out to the 2 crew. I'm like, what'd you get? Stop rolling. What did you get? Grabbing your wrist. I want to play.
You held your own, though. You did a good job.
That's good. I guess the audience will ultimately decide how I did.
That episode comes out the week of Christmas.
Sweet. But I liked it. I liked playing.
Indeed.
Does Jake's family, asks Tamir, a.k.a. in Yankees, does Jake's family like Amir more than Amir's family likes Jake, or vice versa?
What is the question?
Does my family like you more, or does your family like me more?
That's a good question. I really think they like us the same.
I was going to say your family likes me more.
Oh, you don't think your family likes me?
I do, but like my family's a lot colder than your family. Like, no, my mom's not going to hug you and be like, I love you so much.
Mom does hug me and tell me that.
Really?
Well, yeah. She over text, yeah.
Yeah, she's very emotional and polite over text.
It is like, funny how, like, when she texts me with, like, so many heart emojis and, like...
winky faces and wine glasses.
Yeah, and... But then you like see her like, how are you? She's like, good.
Yeah.
She doesn't seem. But
who's texting for you, Mom?
I think your family.
Your family is just warmer and has more love in their hearts.
Well, not my dad.
Yeah, your dad. My entire family is like your dad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So maybe they love each other. It's an equal amount, but I feel more love because your family is more sweet and overt about it.
Right. I mean, my mom Yeah, my mom is very, very verbose
and
declarative of her love.
It would be fun if your mom texted like my mom acted. So just like short,
oh, I could
sarcastic texts.
You would, I could imagine that, but that's also not true. She texts when, unlike our family thread, she'll send something, and as every kid responds, she responds to everyone. Like, so much love.
A lot of heart emojis.
Indeed.
Love, let's see, new person. Okay. Nicholas Patrick Dis Tweet writes, would you rather be able to speak in any language or talk to animals?
Speak in any language or talk
to animals.
That's a good would you rather.
Yeah, because they're both great.
Yeah, because like...
What's more impressive?
Probably animals.
Because nobody else on Earth can do that.
But no one would believe you.
Yeah.
Like, did anyone believe Dr. Doolittle could talk to animals?
Or did they just think like,
you're
weird.
A really intuitive veterinarian.
How did you know the ostrich had a flu? Yeah, it told me so.
Even then, like, what would you really glean from animals? Like, because do you think that the animals are wise when you're talking to them? Or do you talk to a chicken and it's just like, I laid an egg! I did an egg! I'm scared of the dog!
Yeah. Do I want to talk to my dog or is it just him saying, food, 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 food,
is that food? Food. Is that food? I have to shit. I have to shit. I have to shit.
Wake up. I Another want a banana. Dog. Well, yeah, I guess I'd rather have gone to Portugal and been fluent other than hearing my dog say food a lot.
I think it's probably more enriching to be able to speak any language. I'll go speak any language.
And I'll go animal because I can monetize that skill. I'm a one in a billion, and you're just a fucking cunning linguist.
Any language, I wonder if there's someone in the world that speaks every single language.
It can't be, right?
No, I don't think so.
But like if you're close, you might as well just dedicate your life to it.
Actually, I guess there probably are people that speak in every single language.
That's a good question. I'll do a Google search during the break.
Does anyone speak every single language?
How random is that? And
like, do another Google search. Can I talk to a pig?
Fuck
How
it.
Do I know what a pig needs?
I want to speak to a pigeon in Japanese. All right, let's take a break. I'll search that. We'll come back with even more lightning round-based questions after this. Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show. We love Squarespace.
That's correct. I use Squarespace over and over again, all the time. It is my go-to.
Yeah, you've built multiple websites.
Yes, yes.
It's kind of insane. You're like almost a Squarespace entrepreneur at this point. You must have made, what, 3, 5, 50 websites?
I am a mogul. Yeah, I am a scion of Squarespace.
So you know how easy it is to design, and you don't need to know much programming, if any, at all, to create a professional-looking online store, portfolio, blog, vlog. Hell, you'll even create a slog.
I have created a slog, and it is a slog.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's a secret vlog.
Right.
You can even purchase domain names through Squarespace. Jake, what did you find that people can buy right now?
Fly a bike. You've heard of fly a kite? Well, how about you fly a bike? That's where you tie a string to a bike and run with it and see if it will fly. And if it does, you'll post it on this website, flyabike.com. Thanks, Sharks.
That's pretty good, actually. Yeah. Mine is bikeafly.com, which is also available.
Really?
Yep.
You can bike a fly? That's good.
Yeah. You put a little flea on like a bike. Like, oh my God, look at this tiny little circus.
Yeah. All right. Cool. That's really smart.
So if you want to buy those domain names or maybe somebody in your life is turning 50 and you want to buy them a website to show you how much you appreciate them, you can buy their full name.com if it's available. You can do it all.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. And you can also do email campaigns. You can sell content. They got award-winning customer service. They even got a new AI tool called Squarespace AI to update written content on any website, product description, or email. So it can generate instant personalized results for your brand, which is kind of cool.
Very cool.
So to get access to all these cool features and more, just head to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain by using that code segments.
Baller.
Yeah, that's squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase. And then when you're ready to launch, you'll just use that code segments.
Segments.
Thank you, Squarespace. Thank you to Helix for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Jake, you love Helix. You sleep on a Helix.
I certainly do. That is correct. I'm proud to do it.
It's your favorite mattress. You know why? Because it's personalized to you.
That's right. I took the sleep exam. I passed the sleep test. I am certified, licensed, professional sleep, not quiz, test taker. Kind of like the bar, but for mattresses, folks.
Yeah, it says you take a Helix sleep quiz and you can find your mattress in under 2 minutes.
For some.
Super fast, super simple.
It took me 11 days to take that test.
Jesus Christ.
Yes. It was open book, but questions. I really wanted it to be perfect.
Of course it's open book. It's just how you sleep.
Not just that, but yeah, kind of.
And then Helix has a lineup of over 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection.
That's actually what I sleep on, folks.
Wow. So you take the quiz, and then they ship you the mattress. And all mattresses come with a 10 or 15 year warranty. So if you're sleeping on a mattress for so long, it might be time to upgrade. And the best way to upgrade is by going to helix.com/segments.
Right.
Then you take that quiz and you get 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows if you go to that URL.
Damn.
So check it out. Go to helixsleep.com/segments and use the code HELIXPARTNER20.
Right on.
So the URL is helixsleep.com/segments. The code is HELIXPARTNER20. All one word. You get 20% off your mattress.
Right.
This is the best offer yet, and it won't last long.
No, sir.
So with Helix, better sleep starts now. It starts right now.
That's right.
Thanks, Helix.
Thank you.
And we're back. I got some great data just in a few quick Google searches about can anybody speak every language?
Let's hear it.
The most famous hyper-polyglot, polyglot is someone who speaks many languages, was probably Giuseppe Mezzofanti, a 19th century Italian cardinal who is reputed to speak 72 languages. The claim sounds preposterous if you assume each language has 20,000 words and Mezzofanti could remember a word infallibly after meeting it only once. He'd still have to learn a word a minute 12 hours a day for 5.5 years. Not likely. But Mezzofanti was constantly tested by critics and they were all impressed. One even called him the devil because of his uncanny skill. Even if the stories are exaggerated.
He was such a critic, he thought he was the devil.
He was clearly some kind of linguistic superstar. So this guy claimed to have learned 72 languages, according to this spinner.cofc.edu.
How many languages are there?
So that's what I searched too. This guy learned 72 languages. How many languages are there? How many languages do you think?
I guess 73. No, I think there's 300.
There are roughly 6,500 spoken languages in the world. However, 2,000 of those languages have fewer than 1,000 speakers. So somewhere in the 5,000 range.
That's nuts.
Yes. And
now, I mean, like, now if you, knowing that, what do you choose? You still want to talk to fucking seahorses and shit? You know, I talk to a howler monkey.
I guess knowing that the record is somebody heard of somebody knowing 70, and then you're walking in there with $7,000 under your belt, some of which are only spoken by 2,000 people on Earth. Mm-hmm. I'd like to talk to a fucking horse.
And would you say, like, if somebody's like, "What happened? Like, how did you learn all these languages?" Would you be like, "I just woke up and I knew them," or would you be like, "I studied meticulously"?
I would say, "I'm the devil." All right, would you rather know 50 languages or never have a cold again?
50 languages.
That's cool. All right, 50 languages are twice as many colds as you'll have.
Wait, so I either know 50 languages or I'll get sick twice as often?
No.
I choose the languages.
Fuck. All right. I messed that up, but I have to give it to you. God damn it.
I'm invincible.
Genie.
Yo soy invincible.
Your nose is running. Okay, sorry. I gave you the wrong one. Let's see here. What's the most embarrassing way you've ever asked someone out? Says Skilloose.
Oh, didn't you just pull this up?
Yeah, I sent someone a Instagram DM that we had met on the road saying, "Do you want to hang out?" And then it was like, "Yes or no. Please give me a thumbs up or a thumbs down."
It was like a note that I think you and I typed out together, which is awful.
Everything's awful because the response was a thumbs down.
Right.
Of course. Absolutely deserved and earned a thumbs down for the lengths I went to send this person a DM. That's a good one that hops off the brain. I don't know. Other than that, do you have an embarrassing moment where you ask someone out?
I think there was a time when I used to like have this really bad habit of like getting drunk and writing a Facebook message to someone.
Mm.
And there's one time that I can remember like telling someone at like midnight on Facebook that we should go on a date. And then I woke up and I was like, oh man, I sent that. And then she had written back and said no. And rather than just take the L, I crafted a response that was like, no big deal. Also, I didn't send that.
I didn't send it.
I was like, I blamed it on my friend sending it as a goof.
All right, I'll go out with you. Really? Fuck.
It was very weird that I tried to weasel my way out of, like, just try to save face a little bit.
Just so you know, you didn't reject me.
Yeah, why?
Because the devil sent that.
What did I have to gain from that?
AKA me, but in a drunken state.
Yeah, I feel like I've asked people out in cringy ways all the time, but the only ones you remember are the ones where they say no.
Yeah. Owen, that Cahill kid asks, what's the best movie you've seen this year?
Ooh, you've seen some good ones.
I saw Parasite. That was good. I saw The Lighthouse recently. That was fine. I hated Joker, of course.
Yeah.
But one of the best movies I've seen recently was Jojo Rabbit. I don't remember. Yeah, I love that movie. I don't remember other movies I saw like in January and February, but I do remember Jojo Rabbit was great.
I never remember movies that I saw Parasite and I was like, thought it was fine, but yeah. I was mad that everyone people are like, it's the best movie of the year. Like it wasn't that good. It was pretty good.
Yeah, but now you can't remember a better movie.
Right. Well, only because you said Parasite and because I sort of got into a small argument with Jill about it not being good.
You raised your voice. You don't remember a good movie?
Oh,
didn't you love the Jonah Hill movie?
Oh,
like mid-90s?
Mid-90s?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was mad that I liked that movie as much as I did.
That was this year, I think.
Was that this year? I thought it was last year. And yeah. I mean, I watched it at home.
Yeah, you might have seen it this year.
The hero, the kid's hero in that movie gives him like such an amazing, moving speech.
Wow.
And does such a good job that I was floored that Jonah Hill wrote it because it was like really beautiful. And I hated Jonah Hill for that.
You know what movie everyone loves is the Shia LaBeouf movie, Honey Boy.
Honey
Boy. We should see that.
We should. We love Shia.
Yeah.
The beef?
I guess he wrote this amazing film about his childhood.
That's awesome.
Let's see here.
But doesn't he like play his dad in it?
Yeah, something like that. What race did you play on NADPOD? Writes Martin SPCX.
It's a spoiler. Don't tell anybody.
Okay. How many races are there?
I think there's like, I mean, it depends because like in the main D&D, like the main playable races, I think there's like 10 or something. I'm not entirely sure. There's like the standard ones.
What
elf,
is yours?
Dwarf, half. Hard one is a half elf, but originally I was a human.
So you can be anything and you chose human?
Humans are very well-rounded, cool characters that are awesome. Aragorn was a human. He's pretty damn heroic.
Yeah, I guess. Actually, I'd like to re-record mine with human. I didn't know that was an option.
So now everyone knows you weren't a human. Enough spoilers, man.
Alex Quintana asks, how fast are you guys, mile per hour?
Like at running?
Yeah, how fast do you, how many miles per hour do you think you could run?
I don't know. What's the average?
I think like jogging is 6 miles per hour. That's like a 10-minute mile.
Right. I guess that's about right. I think I run a 9-minute mile when I go on a jog.
But if you can sprint, what's your max speed? Maybe we can hit 9 or 10 miles per hour. That'd be a fun thing to measure.
I can't sprint very, very fast.
You could sprint pretty fast. We used to sprint.
Yeah, we used to. I don't know if I could do it anymore.
Because of your feet?
I think I'm just like out of practice. I'm more of what's it called? Like
distance? Endurance?
Endurance, yeah. I'm an endurance athlete. I don't have a lot of explosive power.
That's cool. NBA.
Excuse me. What about you, man? How fast do you think you could sprint? Are you more of an explosion?
23 miles per hour? What?
It's really good.
I think that's Usain Bolt's record, something in the lower 20s. If you had to move to the Midwest, where would it be? Asks the real Days. D. Hayes. The real D. Hayes.
The Midwest.
So we're talking Michigan, Wisconsin, Illinois, Minnesota, Minneapolis, Iowa.
I like all of those places. I think Michigan. I think Michigan's a cool state.
What city?
Lansing.
That's awesome. You can go to Michigan State University.
I think I would do. I really like Ann Arbor.
Oh yeah, Ann Arbor is great. I like a good college town. Everyone really rallies together behind something once a week.
I feel like Madison, Wisconsin was real nice.
Yeah,
Ann Arbor. And
more than Chicago?
I honestly think I would do that stuff over Chicago.
Because Chicago's too big, too cold, too windy?
Yeah, all of those things. And I'm looking at a quick map. I don't know if... I'm not sure I would do Minnesota. It's too cold, man.
Oh, it was freezing. I think the coldest night I've experienced was Minnesota. I think it was like -8 or something. And like I couldn't even wait for a Lyft outside, like the Uber was coming in 2 minutes. I'm like, I can't. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
my eyes burn.
But I mean, I guess Michigan's pretty damn cold too.
Yeah,
I do. I'm more into Wisconsin or Michigan over Chicago, man. For real, for real.
And I'll choose Chicago just because I need that big city vibe.
That otherwise, Zaza, that deep dish.
I don't even like deep dish. What's a mildly impressive skill you have? Writes Frisbee Dick.
Great Twitter handle.
You don't think his dick is actually like that?
You think it's a disc-like cock?
It's a discus dixus? You think his dick is a discus?
Mild.
Did you know I can roll my stomach?
That's yeah, I did know that.
So roll up, roll down. Roll up, roll down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty solid.
Not solid enough. What's a mildly impressive skill you have?
I can turn my belly button inside out.
Squeef me?
Like I have an innie, but if I don't know if I can still do it, actually.
Let me see.
I can sort of like...
Oh my God, it's still going. Jesus Christ, it looks like a AA battery.
It's like not connected.
Oh, you have a fucking umbilical cord. Dude, I'm going to tug it.
I have to stand up, but I can used to be able to turn it fully into an Audi.
Like a pink sock of sorts.
Yeah, like I can yank on it, twist it, and it'll stay an Audi for like a few seconds.
I can skip it and bop it, and it'll stay like...
So you can roll your stomach, and I can turn mine inside out, man.
Oh, your spleen's coming out of your hole.
Damn right.
Let's see here. Will you and Jake ever go on Hot Ones? Writes Tom Troy 8.
What is Hot Ones?
It's that YouTube interview where you are eating super spicy food while it's happening.
Oh, I don't think I would do that.
But on the plus side, it's a very viral, popular channel. So you can reach millions of people. But on the bottom side, you'd have to burn your mouth.
Yeah. I guess like stuff like that always makes me a little sad. Like, it's just like, I don't know. A real star, someone, I don't think they would really do that, you know? You can't really picture Damon going on that.
Yeah, but like Paul Rudd was on it recently. He had that very Twitterable moment of, look at us. Did anyone ever think we'd be here? That was Paul Rudd on the Hot Ones.
That's cool. I guess Paul Rudd can do anything because he's famous enough that when he does something low status, it's cool.
Yeah. So he's sort of an everyman. But I think it's, yeah, if you're worried about your status, I think it's a good look career-wise to be on the Hot Ones. But would you be able to handle the heat?
I just don't like hurting myself for an interview. I always resent shit like that.
Yeah. Especially after the fact.
Do something painful for me.
And for what? Publicity? I have nothing to get the word out about. Bree row yo boat. Bree.
Yeah.
She chose that name. Bree row yo boat.
Yep.
On Twitter asks, fuck, marry, kill, Kendall, Greg, and Roman from Succession.
Mm-hmm.
And then what game show would you be the best contestant at?
Got it. Kendall, Greg, and Roman.
Fuck, marry, kill. All right, kill. I guess kill your least favorite one.
Well, but it's got to be about like what you want. Kendall is broken.
Who would you want to marry, I guess?
I'd want to marry Roman.
Right, because he's funny.
He's
on
funny.
On purpose.
He's funny. He has direct access to the wealth.
And if you want access, you need Roman's
And he's
access.
Also kind of like non-sexual, so I wouldn't have to have sex with him a lot.
That's
and
true.
I wouldn't be attracted to him.
Yeah, it's like him and Jerry's relationship.
And then I guess I'd fuck Greg.
Because
he seems
tall.
Kind of soft, yeah.
Yeah.
And then I'd kill Kendall.
Yeah, I think that's my answer too. Because I don't want to hang out. I don't want to fuck or marry Kendall.
Right.
So he gets the kill.
Yeah.
And I don't want to hang out with Roman the most. And Greg is probably the most attractive of the three.
Yeah. I could definitely, I could see that. That's true.
What game show would you
They're be? They're all great, by the way, though.
What game show would you be the best contestant at?
Price is Right.
Oh.
Because it doesn't really take that much skill. It's more gut and listening to the audience yell.
Higher or lower? Help. Lower? Higher? Why? I'm scared, Bob.
Yeah, the Jeopardy I'd definitely be bad at.
Yeah, Jeopardy is
American
really
Ninja Warrior, maybe.
That'll be sad. Like, compared to the real ninjas that are doing it.
What would you be the best at?
I think I'd be pretty good at Family Feud, where like we asked 100 people and this is the most popular
answer.
Oh,
yeah, I would be good at Family Feud too.
Yeah, like what time is dinner?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
That's what, a good... What's a good furniture piece to have in a den?
Accent chair.
No.
Fuck. Grandfather clock? I don't know, Steve. I'm nervous.
I said I would be on a different show. Fuck.
It always seems easy from your fucking recliner. Oh, that's one. God damn it. Recliner.
Heart-shaped box writes, they say never meet your heroes. Who are your heroes that you don't want to meet for fear of disappointment? Probably a basketball player for me.
Right.
Because I don't know their personality. Like, what if I meet fucking Lamar Odom and he's mean to me
because right.
he's busy and dealing with his own shit. And I'm like, hello, you're the man. Thanks for the two titles. And he's like, yeah, whatever. What?
But you did meet your hero, Rick Fox, and that kind of worked out.
Yeah, he was the man. That was the one example of meeting your heroes that worked out really well.
I feel like most of my heroes, I don't know if I have a hero.
That's cool.
No,
I guess your father, right?
Yeah, but like, would he want to spend time with me? I don't know what it'd be like to meet and hang with him.
My old man.
What
about a music man? A Tom DeLonge type?
Yeah, I guess if I met Tom DeLonge, there's a decent chance I'd be disappointed because he'd be like wanting to talk to me about aliens a lot.
Do you think we're alone?
Tom.
What?
Just tell me what you were feeling when you wrote Pathetic.
The universe is ever expanding. What are the odds that we're the only ones here right now?
All right, that was cool. You're singing a little bit, I guess.
No, I'm having heartburn.
Hey, Mom, there's something in the back room.
Can you grab me a Tums, man?
You wrote a song about aliens existing.
We should
It was
have
called
known.
Aliens Exist.
Really?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's kind of good.
Ollie Swift 182 asks, what's the fourth best ice cream flavor?
182, I love it. Fourth best ice cream flavor? Goat's chocolate. All the rest are bad. So I'll say number four is fucking mint. Oh no, chocolate, then coffee, then the rest are bad.
You don't like strawberry, you don't like vanilla?
Gross, no. Ew.
Vanilla ice cream is gross to you?
I don't like the other ones.
You don't like chocolate ice cream?
I like it in very, very rare circumstances. I don't like ice cream. I'm not a fan.
I'll go strawberry as my fourth fave.
Fourth? No. Strawberry's so far last. vanilla. Because number one is chocolate, number two is coffee, number three is cookie dough, number four is vanilla. Unless you
cookie
can
dough
do
is
milk chocolate or
with
dark
cookie
chocolate.
Dough. Your third favorite is vanilla with cookie dough. Your least favorite is vanilla without cookie dough. Go fuck yourself.
You
next
fuck
question.
Yourself.
Favorite horror movies? Go.
Best horse. Favorite horror?
Felicity
I don't like horror
Tom.
Movies either.
You don't like any horror movies?
I liked, no, I don't like any horror movies. I don't like to be afraid. I guess.
Did you like Blair Witch? Did you like The Sixth Sense?
The Sixth Sense, I think, is good because it's still fucking scary. The Blair Witch, in retrospect, was stupid and it gave me a migraine. The Shining.
A migraine. Specifically a migraine. It wasn't a headache. It was a tension migraine.
I grew up after the Blair Witch Project because it's fucking so, it's so fucking blurry. It gives you motion sickness, man. The kids, they're all inexpert.
The Village gave me food poisoning.
What's the Jordan Peele movie?
Us? Oh, Get Out.
Get Out. Yeah, that one's perfect.
All right.
So good that I didn't remember the name. But wait, what's yours?
Does American Psycho count? He does kill people.
I would think that's more of a thriller than a horror.
Fuck. The Shining? That's a horror.
I said The Shining.
Yeah, I'll go The Shining.
Okay.
Shout out to He's Right Behind You, a horror movie podcast hosted by one Avital, my girlfriend. So if you want to hear me talk about horror movies, I've been on that show. He's Right Behind You.
I'm supposed to go on that to talk about The Terror.
Oh, that's a horror miniseries.
Indeed.
Your mom, LOL Roasted, asks, if you had to pick different names, which would you pick and why?
Nice. I'd go Jack.
You borderline do that already.
Yeah.
You also say Josh a lot.
Mm-hmm. You got to go Jay. I think Jack.
I like Sam. And I've been toying with Elliot recently.
You have been toying with Elliot. You changed your name on our company Slack to Elliot and updated the photo to be a picture of Marty's dad.
But with Elliot, it's always hard with how many L's, how many T's.
Yeah, that's not worth it. It's not worth the effort. You want it easy to spell. Like
Sam,
Jack, Bobby,
Rafe.
Wait, no.
R-A-E-F-E.
That's not even how you would spell it.
Rafe.
Rafe.
Let's see here. Does Kimmy Parsons says, does Rejected Jokes, a.k.a. Ben Schwartz, like Otis Redding? I can probably say for a fact he does. He loves old soul music. Will you guys ever make it to New Zealand, asks Kimmy Parsons as well.
NZ.
We've been twice now.
But we have never done a show there.
We'll come back. We'll always come back.
I would love to do a show in New Zealand.
When are you guys doing a show in Dubai, asks Abby Godico.
That'd be cool to go to Dubai. I can't imagine we'd have a good show there.
N.N. Ilkman writes, oh, it's kind of like Milkman, but the M is two N's.
Nice.
What's the perfect holiday food? I'll specify it to Thanksgiving/Christmas. Where do you land on the turkey thing?
I don't think Thanksgiving food is good at all.
0% good.
I don't think any of it's that good.
You don't like the sweet potatoes, you don't like the turkey.
I don't like the turkey. I don't like the sweet potatoes. I'll tell you what, my in-law makes brisket now.
Oh.
Which is goat. That's
Hanukkah
great.
Chic.
I love that. I think Hanukkah actually does have the best food because of the latkes.
Wow, yeah. Hanukkah's thing is that it's all deep fried.
Yeah.
So
the potatoes
is part
with
of it.
Sour cream is like game over. That shit's the best. But I mean, the best food is Fourth of July food.
Barbecue.
It's hot dogs. It's hamburgers. That's what's my favorite.
I mean, without Thanksgiving, we got to assume turkey would be completely obsolete. No one's baking a whole turkey. It's hard to make,
right.
And it's not worth the effort
it's
at
not
all.
Worth it. What's the Christmas food? Fucking ham?
Yeah. Have you ever gone ham on a ham?
I don't think Christmas food is very good either. What else is there besides ham? What do people do?
I don't know.
It's weird because
I'm not
like,
a Christmas guy.
My Christmas is... I'm pretty sure we always do lasagna, which is not like Christmas food. It's just my family's weird tradition.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen a lasagna Christmas. Did your mom ever make that? Like out of the oven comes a giant spiral ham?
Of course not. My mom, bless her soul, she didn't have fucking time to do that.
But did she make turkeys?
Or the know-how. I don't think
she made
it.
Who's making the turkey in your childhood Thanksgivings?
I think... I'm pretty sure that my dad did. Maybe my mom did a couple of times. My grandma used to. It was, and I mean, my mom is like a vegan now. So like, whoa, she's not cooking us turkey.
A full ham.
She'll cook us chicken though, because she knows we love it.
Johnny Esports asks, I'm pooping right now. Should I wipe sitting or standing? I didn't know that was a common debate until I saw it on the internet a few years ago.
Yeah, I remember being, but you know what's funny? I remember being completely floored at the time when I saw that anyone sat to wipe.
Really? So you stood to wipe?
When I was in high school is when I found out that other people sat down. And I was like, what are you talking about? You stand.
How do you stand and wipe? When you stand, don't your butt cheeks close for business?
It makes no sense to me now. Like, there's no reason to stand and wipe. Like, you
can't.
You poop and then you stand pressing the shit into your ass cheeks.
I guess
then you wipe.
You can almost stand but still squat. So it's like you're doing a right angle stand.
Yeah.
That
I mean,
seems
really
a lot
what
harder.
You should do is get the bidet. Mm. But that all
but
takes place sitting down as well. You sit, you spray, you wipe, you pat dry. That's what you need.
You sit, you spray, you bidet.
Yeah.
Back in the day, did you guys ever see yourself having your own podcast network? Writes Sean Wiseby 11. Before podcasts even existed. It's 1995. Did you ever imagine running one?
I think the more interesting version of this question is, when we launched HeadGum, did you think we'd be this involved today?
Maybe not. Our goal was to just like help push it and launch it and then sort of take a step back.
Yeah. Now I like it. But at the time, like when we launched HeadGum, I was like, oh yeah, we'll help the shows get traffic and then there'll be other people that do everything.
Right.
And they're sort of our other people that do everything. But we are...
We definitely do the least.
Yeah, we do the least.
So that part happened.
But we're...
Still involved day to day.
Yeah, we're there.
When will Jake do a High and Mighty Power Hour? Writes Fishy Phelps. First of all, would you ever do a High and Mighty Power Hour?
I genuinely don't think so, for two reasons.
You had a falling out with John Gabris.
I can't burp.
Huh?
I can't burp.
You can fart.
I can fart. But if I were on stage drinking shot after shot of beer, I would get such bad
acid reflux,
acid
like
reflux,
the gas
that
would
be
trapped.
I would be like physically uncomfortable and wouldn't know what to do. Like long before I got.
What do you do when you drink like two beers? Don't you feel that gas?
I usually don't drink two beers.
But you have before.
Yeah, sometimes. The most I drink before I start to feel that is like a beer and a half.
And then
that's
what do you do with your burps that are trapped?
I do this all the time. If I really need to, I'll pull the trigger. I'll like hit my gag reflex and it's an explosive burp that reverberates the bathroom.
Have you done that in public? Like you're at a beer hall, you've had two beers, you're like, excuse me.
I do it at restaurants all the time.
At restaurants?
Yeah.
You don't like excuse yourself and go to the bathroom and do it.
Oh, no, I go to the bathroom. Yeah,
yeah. You're not at the table going.
No. I have to stick my finger down my throat.
Are you over a toilet just in case?
I never throw up. But I hit my gag reflex. It sounds like.
Like and that was a burp? That was gas being released?
Yeah. Oh my God, so much. It's like such a loud like croak.
You can't burp?
No.
Can you learn how to burp? Is there something physiologically wrong with you? Burping is like natural, like babies burp.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't like make myself burp. There's times when I'll like do something that sounds kind of like a burp. If I drink a lot of carbonated thing and maybe it just like sounds like eh. I don't know. It doesn't. It's definitely not like a burp. I do not burp.
Interesting. Very Pinteresting.
You didn't know that? I feel like I talked about that before.
I've seen you pull the trigger to burp, but I thought it was like, that's when it was severe, not like, this is for every burp I've ever had.
Yeah, I mean, most of the time, I think farting gets the job done. Like,
what do you
don't
do with
usually...
a LaCroix? People burp after a single seltzer water.
That one's manageable. I don't really burp. That doesn't hurt me.
Interesting.
And if I drink one beer, I don't always have to like pull my trigger to burp.
All right.
It's case by case. I feel it in my stomach. But that's the main reason why I can't do the power hour. The other one is that I can't imagine. I would be so hungover. So one, I can't burp. The other is that I don't think I want to.
You haven't had that much to drink recently?
I probably have, but like, man, I would just not be, I don't know. I don't think I could, it does not appeal to me.
Tommy G, last few ones. Tommy G, what's your favorite type of rice?
Wild.
That's cool. I'll go chicken fried.
Nice.
What's your mom's shoe size? Cameron Surf?
8.
My mom's a 10. And I'm not talking about her shoe size. okay, here's a good one to end on. Brennan Spinney asks, what's the most you should spend on a t-shirt?
Oh, so it's a basic.
it's a nice layer piece.
Is it a graphic tee?
It's any t-shirt.
We're talking like, I think if we're talking pure basic undershirt, white undershirt, you shouldn't go over 25.
Uh-huh.
But if we're talking like graphic tee, pocket tee, like something that's not a layering piece but is the real deal, the main show, a marquee tee.
Yeah, like you're going to brunch, but it's a nice hot day and it's like,
I'll go,
it's
45. Classy. You should never pay over 50 for a t-shirt.
My secret is going to Nordstrom Rack. Then you're buying $80 to $100 t-shirts, but everything is half off. So Vince, for example, great shirts. They're like $80. I'm not spending $80 for a t-shirt.
Yeah,
but then it pushes it down to 40, and I have a really nice t-shirt for $40.
Here's my theory, though. I think that Vince makes their $80 t-shirts, mm-hmm. and then they also make a shitty version of their t-shirt to give to Nordstrom Rack.
Interesting.
I don't think you're getting the $80 t-shirt for $40. I think you're getting their $40 bullshit.
Interesting. I have to get a real $80 t-shirt then just to prove you wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, you do.
Fuck. I don't have that kind of cash.
I don't have the capital right now. I started a GoFundMe.
For a shirt.
A GoFundTee.
Nice. All right. A lot of more questions. Maybe we'll do a number two because we got hundreds of questions. We tried to answer as many as possible.
We sure did.
If you have some real questions for us, send them all down to ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. Opening theme song is same author as the closing theme song. This is the second part of Chris Byerly's Five for Fighting What If parody. Thanks to Chris for writing in. Thanks to you guys for submitting all your questions. Thanks for listening. More bonus video Thursday episodes of this show on our Patreon.
Oh yeah, baby.
Patreon.com/JA. Every Thursday, it's either one of those episodes or a Jake and Amir watch. Jake and Amir, we watch our old videos, dissect, divulge secrets, things that we've completely forgotten about. Memories are jogged down memory lane.
What are we watching this week?
I think we just watched Grandma and 80 Cents, Powers one.
80 Cents was one that I really had no recollection of ever doing.
Yeah, they're 10 years old at this point.
Give me 80 Cents and I'll butt fuck you is something you say.
So you know it's good.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for listening. Sorry
and
for the delay.
I'll butt fuck you.
All right. We'll be back next week. Ciao, everybody.
Need a pickup line I can borrow. If I don't get it, then I don't get it. Maybe they'll answer mine tomorrow. If I don't get it, then I don't get it. No, right from the beginning, you're reading a different question. The Game Boy isn't gonna win it. What if their advice sucks? What if they give no fucks? What am I to do? They're making fun of me. Only if I were you. What if they have been shorts on? What if he pulls a long con? With the only answer to questions from a fans of if I were you.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news, we're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody
who the fucking hosts are.
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Laitman of Exploration
And why
Live.
Don't you tell them, excuse me, why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
Okay, I will. It's
can you do that?
So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.